You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Does anybody really care about the situation you are now in? In a few minutes, I am going to tell you about someone who does.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O God of love and God of grace, in their hour of trial, uphold and strengthen the weary. Give encouragement to the depressed, and by thy healing spirit, console the troubled consciences of the guilty. Assure them of the sin-cleansing power of the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord, may all who are walking their own way and doing their own thing return to thee in true and sincere repentance. Take them back, O Lord, for thou hast promised to do so. And, O Heavenly Father, God of grace, restore unto all thy followers the joy of thy salvation. Amen. It is Sunday, and it is dark, and I'm looking for some peace and some tranquility, but there isn't any. I know the cockroaches will be out again tonight, crawling and sniffing, feeling the hairs on my legs as I try to sleep. These are the desperate words of a prison inmate. I do understand, he said, why people commit suicide in prison. In only 1 week's time, he pointed out, there have been 2 suicides and both were teenagers. They were unable to cope with the confusion, the chaos, and the violence. Then this despondent and desperate man asked, does anybody care? His cry of hopelessness emerges inevitably in the minds of weary prisoners confined to spend month after month and possibly year after year behind walls of cold concrete and strong steel. But this feeling of torturous anguish and despondency is also felt by non-prisoners, those burdened with the guilt of past sins. Angry family members of broken homes join the chorus shouting, "Does anybody care?" This three-worded call for help is constantly on the lips of the tongues of repentant divorcees. These heartbroken individuals know they made a mistake. And even if they publicly admit their guilt, they are yet shunned and ridiculed by people who call themselves Christian. As we wonder whether anybody cares, let us not forget the elderly. Many of these senior citizens sacrificed hard-earned dollars for and gave their entire savings to their children. Now, however, much to their own surprise and dismay, many aging parents have been abandoned, even by those they love, their own flesh and blood. If anybody, it should be the elderly who should be permitted to loudly cry out, "Does anybody care?" No, don't wonder whether anybody cares for you or your situation. The Bible contains encouraging news for your torturous and agonizing question. This is what it says, and I quote, "The Lord supports the afflicted. His understanding is infinite, and He heals the brokenhearted." It is not possible for you or me to fully comprehend how thoroughly and completely and intimately God loves us. He understands every detail of our lives. He is concerned about you, and He wants to help you. God knows exactly how you feel at this hour. He is totally aware of the problems and frustrations you are facing. The Bible says that God's understanding is infinite. He understands everything perfectly. Jesus Christ powerfully demonstrated this biblical truth during his public ministry. In the Bible we read, and I quote, "And seeing the multitude," seeing the crowds, "Jesus felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd." The people who followed Jesus had many problems, and the Savior knew this. His gracious and loving heart was greatly distressed. He was compelled by his own love to help them. In every season, we see dramatic television reports of national disasters, floods and fires, earthquakes, tornadoes and hurricanes. And almost inevitably, concerned governors survey the damaged area. Then they meet with their staff and determine how to respond. But for Jesus Christ, it is different. The sympathetic response of Jesus Christ toward those in trouble is never delayed. He doesn't have to meet with some committee. The compassion of Jesus Christ and his love and his unconditional forgiveness are immediate. And so in your hour of trial at this moment, do not be misled to believe that God will help you by and by. God is at your side at this moment. Listen to God's promise to you written in the Bible, and I quote, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire," the Bible points out, "you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." Yes, God is ready to hear your sincere pleas, and he is prepared to respond at this moment to your needs. If you have some doubt as to whether what I have said is really true, then permit me to ask you an important question. Do you think that the God who has made the entire universe is unable to help you face your frustrations? Do you feel that God is so limited in his ability that he is unable to solve your problems? Or perhaps you've been misled by the devil to believe that certain problems in life must be worked out alone and with your own strength. No, no. The psalmist said, "The Lord supports the afflicted. His understanding is infinite, and he heals the brokenhearted." The failure to turn to God and to trust in him completely is one of the greatest sins now rampant in our so-called religious society. The Gallup poll regularly reports that over 90% of the people of our society believe in God. And yet, this can be terribly misleading. Cancer strikes, and before even considering the power of prayer, we tend to race quickly to the 20th century altars of science and technology. Problems arise in families. Instead of seeking the help of him who created the entire universe, we place our hopes first in the ability of counselors. Dissensions arise in churches and religious organizations, and ironically, those who claim most loudly to follow God turn first to man-devised procedures to iron out their differences. And of course, many clergy give endless counsel to their weary people. They admonish them to seek God first in all things. However, when trouble besets them in their home or their congregation, many of these clergy often seek first man's advice. There is no doubt that medicine, technology, counselors, and other blessings have helped millions, and it will continue to be that way. Yet God demands that we turn first to him. And if we rest our hopes on the blessings of technology, it is still God who, through technology and science and counselors, brings help and healing, harmony, forgiveness, and eternal salvation. It is the true and living God, not some false prophet who says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Yes, even when God delivers us, we fail many times to glorify him. Several months ago, a cross-country skier was swept 1,000 feet down a mountainside and buried in several feet of suffocating snow. He said it was like being buried alive in wet cement. After being rescued, the happy survivor was quoted in the newspaper as saying, "I think I was probably on my way to dying, except that my friend got there on time." Imagine, in this special news release, not a word of appreciation was given to the Lord. No one took time to credit the one who has numbered the very hairs of our head and who, each day, keeps his eyes on the sparrows. All of us have sinned in this way. We have failed to give God the glory He deserves. We have fallen short so many, many times. Good things happen in our lives. We are rescued. We are healed. We are blessed with many material blessings. We are given another year to live, and yet we stubbornly and sinfully refuse to acknowledge our gracious Heavenly Father. In all of this sinfulness, however, God continues to love us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God will love you and me until the lids of our caskets are fastened shut and we are placed in the cold grave. But let us also remember that once death arrives, there will be no second chance to turn from our sinful ways. Once this life is over, everything concerning our eternal destiny is instantaneously and immediately decided and permanently sealed. The Bible teaches clearly, and I quote, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment." But this stern warning is not meant to drive anyone to discouragement. Our text for today states, "The Lord heals the brokenhearted." In your days of difficulty and in your moments when you see your failures before God and men, don't let the devil drown you in the sea of despair. Confess your faults openly to your Heavenly Father. He has promised to heal the brokenhearted. It is the innocently shed blood of His only Son, Jesus Christ, that has the divine power to cleanse your guilty conscience from the filthy stains of your sin. Even though your sins flame as scarlet in your conscience, by the blood of Jesus Christ, they shall be as white as the driven snow. It is the resurrected Messiah, Jesus Christ, who has the power to enable you to turn away from despair and to turn to Jesus Christ for a hope-filled future. Yes, God does care for you, and in a very, very special way. In fact, instead of listening to me, let me read directly to you from the Bible. I'm going to also explain this crucial verse as I read it. This is what the Bible says. "God so loved the world," God loved you so much, "that He gave His only begotten Son." He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. "And now, whoever believes in Him," the Bible clearly points out, "shall not perish, but have eternal life." The Bible then goes on to explain that God didn't send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. Yes, your life may be a mess and you may be looking desperately for help every hour. Or maybe you are one of those highly religious people. You like to try to show others that you are almost sinless and quite righteous. But you realize deep down in your heart, in spite of your best efforts, you can in no way please God and be accepted by Him. You know your own actions, your greed, and your many sinful thoughts and careless words. In either case, and no matter who you are, and no matter what your background has been, God wants to take you back to Himself. You may have been spending time away from the Lord, doing your own thing. But God wants you back, and God is ready, and He is waiting to heal your broken heart. Before committing suicide, a 13-year-old California boy wrote a brief note to his parents. He said, "Please tell my classmates what happened." Then he added, "Watch. Watch if they are sad or if they laugh." "But that's obvious," he wrote. "I never really had any friends." Hopelessness and despair fill the hearts of thousands of children of our generation. A child recently wrote the editor of a newspaper and asked, "My parents just got a divorce, and I would like to know how many other kids there are in our country whose folks are also divorced." The concerned child then received this shocking reply from the newspaper, which stated, and I quote, "Children of divorce under 18 years of age now number more than 11 million in the United States alone, with at least 1 million more added each year." In our fast-paced and frequently confused society, growing up in a normal home is a challenge, to say the least. Yet growing up in an unhappy or especially a broken home is many times more difficult. The indescribable mental anguish involved is frequently much worse than a severe physical handicap. If you are one of those young victims, listen to the words of the psalmist recorded in the Bible. Let his confidence also be your hope each hour when he says, "Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation, For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Some people say that God and the Bible are mostly for older people, especially when they get ready to die. But this is not true. In fact, in a sense, children and young people benefit most when they realize that God cares and that He can always be counted on, even when adults forget or betray them. In your hours of worry and in your moments of uncertainty, you as a child may not be able to sit on the lap of the Savior like the children did who are described in the Bible. But this really makes no difference. Jesus is still present in your life. He is at your side at night. He is with you in school. And He is with you when you are alone. He is always able to listen to your concerns, and He is always ready to come to your aid. Jesus loves you in a very, very special, special way. And remember also, Jesus will not always answer your prayers in exactly the way that you would like Him to. Yet, because Jesus understands you even better than you understand yourself, His answers will be the best for you now and for your future years. And so, ladies and gentlemen, young people, children, are you lying in a hospital bed at this moment, wondering whether anybody cares? Are you spending your last days in a rest home, wearily wondering whether anybody cares? Or maybe you are listening to this message in your home. Your family has been enduring much unhappiness, and you are desperately wondering whether anybody cares anymore. No matter what your problem might be, and no matter where you are at this moment, do not wonder any longer. God cares, and He cares a lot. He cares for you. In fact, God cared so much for you that He sent His only Son to die in your place on the cruel cross. And then God raised His Son from the dead. And now, because of the resurrection, you can live each day with the knowledge that there are no difficulties too great for you to cope with. And you can live each hour knowing that even if the angel of death itself were to come to your door, you shall be raised again to be with God forevermore. God cares, and He cares for you. His understanding is infinite. He supports the afflicted, and He heals the brokenhearted. Amen.